Appendix A, Operational and Mission Variables. This appendix provides a description of operational and mission variables and their use as tools to develop and maintain situational understanding throughout an operation. Overview of operational and mission variables. Success during operations demands timely and effective decisions based on applying judgment to available information and knowledge. As such, commanders and staffs seek to build and maintain situational understanding throughout the operations process. Situational understanding is a product of applying analysis and judgment to relevant information to determine the relationships among the operational and mission variables. Operational variables. An operational environment, OE, is the aggregate of the conditions, circumstances, and influences that affect the employment of capabilities and bear on the decisions of the commander. For Army forces, an OE includes portions of the land, maritime, air, space, and cyberspace domains understood through three dimensions: human, information, and physical. The land, maritime, air, and space domains are defined by their physical areas. The cyberspace domain, a man-made network of networks, transits and connects the other domains through the electromagnetic spectrum. See FM30 for a more detailed discussion of an OE. Understanding an OE forms the basis for decision-making during planning, preparation, execution, and assessment of an operation. To help build this understanding, leaders analyze and describe an OE through the operational variables, a comprehensive set of information categories used to describe an operational environment, ADP 1-01. The eight interrelated operational variables are political, military, economic, social, information, infrastructure, physical environment, and time, PMECPT. They are described as follows. Political. This variable describes the distribution of responsibility and power at all levels of governance, formally constituted authorities and informal or covert political powers, who are the policy and operational decision makers. Military. This variable includes the military and paramilitary capabilities of all relevant actors, enemy, friendly, and neutral, in an operational environment. How does the enemy employ all capabilities throughout the range of military operations? Economic. This variable encompasses individual and group behaviors related to producing, distributing, and consuming resources. What industries and capacities support enemy military operations? Social. This variable includes the cultural, religious, and ethnic makeup within an operational environment and the beliefs, values, customs, gender norms, and behaviors of society members. Where are the critical cultural centers and how do they influence the population? Information. This variable describes the nature, scope, characteristics, and effects of individuals, organizations, and systems that collect, process, disseminate, or act on information. How does information affect enemy decision-making or support of the population? Infrastructure. This variable comprises the basic facilities, services, and installations needed for the functioning of a community or society. What are the critical sources and locations that provide basic needs to the population? Physical environment. This variable includes the geography and man-made structures and the climate and weather in the assigned area. What types of terrain or weather conditions in this assigned area favor enemy operations? Time. This variable describes the timing and duration of activities, events, or conditions within an operational environment and how the timing and duration are perceived by various actors in the operational environment. For example, at what times are people likely to congest roads or conduct activities that provide a cover for hostile operations? Each of the eight operational variables also has associated subvariables. The specific questions for each variable will differ depending on the general nature of an OE. Mission variables. Mission variables are fundamental in analyzing the situation and developing a course of action, COA, for a given operation. Mission variables describe characteristics of an assigned area, focusing on how they might affect a mission. Incorporating the analysis of the operational variables into the mission variables ensures Army leaders consider the most relevant information available about conditions that pertain to the mission. Using the operational variables as a source of relevant information for the mission variables allows commanders to refine their situational understanding of their OE and to visualize, describe, direct, lead, and assess operations. MET-TCI represents the mission variables leaders use to analyze and understand a situation in relationship to the unit's mission. The increased use of information, both military and civilian, to generate cognitive effects requires leaders to continuously assess the informational impacts on operations. Recent operational experiences demonstrate the importance of commanders and planners considering the informational aspects and impacts early in planning and constantly assess them to create desired effects and outcomes. Commanders and planners integrate information into all operations and activities to create favorable support and circumstances for friendly action, limit enemy or adversary action, and minimize unintended consequences. Information considerations are the relevant friendly, threat, and neutral, both military and civilian, individuals, organizations, and systems capable of generating cognitive effects and influencing behavior. The mission variables are described as follows. Mission. Leaders analyze the higher echelon headquarters warning order, WARNORD, or operation order, OPORD, to determine how their unit contributes to the higher headquarters mission. They examine the following information that affects their mission. Higher headquarters mission and commander's intent. Higher headquarters concept of operations. Specified, implied, and essential tasks. Constraints. Leaders first examine the mission and commander's intent of their higher echelon and the next higher echelon headquarters to determine the overall purpose of the operation and the desired military end state which guides the rest of planning. When these are unavailable, leaders infer them based on available information. When they receive the actual mission and commander's intent, leaders revise their plan if necessary. Leaders next examine their higher echelon's headquarters concept of operations to determine how their unit's mission and tasks contribute to the higher mission's success. They determine details that will affect their operations, such as control measures and execution times. Leaders then extract the specified and implied tasks assigned to their unit from WARNORDS and the OPORD. They determine why each task was assigned to their unit to understand how it fits within the commander's intent and concept of operations. From the specified and implied tasks, leaders identify essential tasks. Leaders complete these tasks to accomplish the mission. Failure to complete an essential task results in mission failure. Leaders must also identify any constraints placed on their unit. Constraints can take the form of a requirement, for example, maintain a reserve of one platoon, or a prohibition on action, for example, no reconnaissance forward of phase line Bravo before H hour. The product of this part of the mission analysis is the restated mission. The restated mission is a simple, concise expression of the essential task or tasks the unit must accomplish and the purpose to be achieved. The mission statement states who, the unit, what, the task, when, either the critical time or on order, where, location, and why, the purpose of the operation. Enemy. With the restated mission as the focus, leaders continue the analysis of the enemy. Analysis of all enemy capabilities, intentions, and desired outcomes is essential in developing threat models and enemy COAs. For units with a staff, an analysis of enemy capabilities and COAs is done using the intelligence preparation of the operational environment, IPO process, led by the intelligence officer and supported by the entire staff. Each staff section brings its expertise to understand how enemy forces use all their capabilities against friendly forces. For example, the deputy fire support coordinator has a thorough understanding of enemy fire's capabilities, and the intelligence officer understands enemy messages and themes used to influence decision-making. For small unit operations, leaders need to know about the enemy's composition, disposition, strengths, recent activities, ability to reinforce, and possible COAs. Much of this information comes from higher echelon headquarters, and it must be refined to the level of detail required by the unit to continue with plan development. Additional information comes from adjacent units and other leaders. Some information comes from the leader's experience. Leaders determine how the available information applies to their operation. They also determine what they do not know, but should know about enemy forces. To obtain the necessary information, they identify these intelligence gaps to their higher headquarters or take action themselves, such as sending out reconnaissance patrols. Terrain and weather. The next mission variable is terrain and weather. leaders analyze the five military aspects of terrain expressed in the memory aid of OACOKE: observation and fields of fire, avenues of approach, key terrain, obstacles, and cover and concealment. Observation is the condition of weather and terrain that permits a force to see the friendly, enemy, and neutral personnel and systems, and the key aspects of the environment, FM1-02.1. Observation is the ability to see or be seen by the adversary either visually or through the use of surveillance devices. A field of fire is the area that a weapon or a group of weapons may cover effectively from a given position, FM3-90. Observation and fields of fire apply to both enemy and friendly weapons. Leaders consider direct fire weapons and the ability of observers to mass and adjust indirect fire. An avenue of approach is a path used by an attacking force leading to its objective or to key terrain. Avenues of approach exist in all domains, ADP3-90. Avenues of approach include overland, air, and underground routes. Underground avenues are particularly important in urban operations. Key terrain is any locality or area the seizure or retention of which affords a marked advantage to either combatant, JP2O. Decisive terrain is key terrain whose seizure and retention is mandatory for successful mission accomplishment, ADP3-90. Terrain adjacent to an assigned area may be key if its control is necessary to accomplish the mission. An obstacle is any barrier designed or employed to disrupt, fix, turn, or block the movement and maneuver, and to impose additional losses in personnel, time, and equipment, JP3-15. Obstacles can exist naturally or can be man-made or can be a combination of both. Obstacles include military reinforcing obstacles, such as minefields. See JP3-15 for more information on obstacles. Cover is protection from the effects of fires, FM3-96. Concealment is protection from observation or surveillance, FM3-96. Terrain that offers cover and concealment limits fields of fire. Leaders consider friendly and enemy perspectives. Although remembered as separate elements, leaders consider the military aspects of terrain together. The military aspects of weather are visibility, wind, precipitation, cloud cover, temperature, humidity, atmospheric pressure, as required, and space weather. The consideration of their effects is an important part of the mission analysis. Leaders review the forecasts and considerations available from Army and Air Force weather forecast models and develop COAs based on the effects of weather on the mission. The mission analysis considers the effects on soldiers, equipment, and supporting forces, such as air and artillery support. Leaders identify the aspects of weather that can affect the mission. They focus on factors whose effects they can mitigate. For example, leaders may modify the standard operating procedures, SOPs, for uniforms and carrying loads based on the temperature. Small unit leaders include instructions on mitigating weather effects in their tentative plan. They check for compliance during preparation, especially during rehearsals. See ATP2-01.3 for more information on the military aspects of weather. Troops and support available. Perhaps the most important aspect of mission analysis is determining the combat power of one's own force. Leaders understand the status of their soldiers' morale, their experience and training, and the strengths and weaknesses of subordinate leaders. They determine all available resources and assess their capabilities. This includes troops attached to or in direct support of the unit. The assessment includes knowing the strength and status of unit equipment. It also includes understanding the full array of assets in support of the unit. Leaders know, for example, how much indirect fire, space, cyberspace, or information operation capabilities will become available, when they are available, and they will know the best assets to inform planning. Leaders should consider any new limitations based on the level of training or recent operations. Time available. Leaders not only appreciate how much time is available, but they also understand the time and space aspects of preparing, moving, fighting, and sustaining. They view their own tasks and enemy actions in relation to time. They know how long it takes under different conditions to prepare for certain tasks, such as orders production, rehearsals, and subordinate element preparations. Leaders should remain mindful of the extended timelines generally associated with achieving information effects, such as achieving cognitive effects on enemy forces or creating and executing desired offensive cyberspace effects. Most importantly, leaders monitor the time available. As events occur, they assess their impact on the unit timeline and update previous timelines for their subordinates. Timelines list all events that affect the unit and its subordinate elements. Civil considerations. Military operations are rarely conducted in uninhabited areas. Units are often surrounded by non-combatants. These non-combatants may include residents within the assigned area, local officials, and governmental and non-governmental organizations. Leaders strive to understand the behaviors and attitudes of populations, to include discerning if they are hostile, friendly, or neutral to friendly forces and how they may be influenced. Based on information from higher echelon headquarters and their own knowledge and judgment, leaders identify civil considerations that affect their mission. Commanders typically analyze civil considerations using six factors known collectively as ASCOPE and pronounced as ASCOPE for areas, structures, capabilities, organizations, people, and events. A gender perspective should be nested within the analysis of the ASCOPE factors. For example, commanders and staffs consider the different norms and behaviors of the population by gender and age. Areas. Key civilian areas are localities or aspects of the terrain within an assigned area that are not normally militarily significant. Leaders consider key civilian areas during terrain analysis, and they consider the assigned area from a civilian perspective. Commanders analyze key civilian areas in terms of how they affect the missions of their individual forces and how military operations affect these areas. Failure to consider key civilian areas can seriously affect the success of an operation. Examples of key civilian areas are areas defined by political boundaries, such as districts within a city, municipalities within a region, locations of government centers, economic zones or regions, ethnic or sectarian enclaves, neighborhoods, and fault lines, social, political, religious, or criminal enclaves, agricultural and mining regions, trade routes, possible sites for the temporary settlement of dislocated civilians or other civil functions. Structures. Existing structures can play many significant roles. Some structures, such as bridges, communications towers, power plants, and dams, are traditional high payoff targets, HPTs. Others, such as churches, mosques, national libraries, and hospitals, are cultural sites that international law or other agreements generally protect. Still others are facilities with practical applications, such as jails, warehouses, television and radio stations, and print plants that may be useful for military purposes. Some aspects of the civilian infrastructure, such as the location of toxic industrial materials, may influence operations. Analyzing a structure involves determining how its location, functions, and capabilities can support or hinder an operation. Commanders also consider the consequences of using it. Using a structure for military purposes often competes with the civilian requirements for it. Commanders carefully weigh the expected military benefits against costs to the community that will have to be addressed in the future. Capabilities. Commanders and staffs analyze capabilities from different levels. They view capabilities in terms of those required to save, sustain, or enhance life in that order of priority. Capabilities can refer to the ability of local authorities, those of the host nation, aggressor nation, or some other body, to provide the population with key functions or services, such as public administration, public safety, emergency services, and food. Primary capabilities include those areas that the population may need help with after combat operations, such as public works and utilities, public health, economics, and commerce. Capabilities also refer to resources and services that can be contracted to support the military mission, such as interpreters, laundry services, construction materials, and equipment. The host nation or other nations might provide these resources and services. Organizations. Organizations are non-military groups or institutions in an assigned area. They influence and interact with the population, the force, and each other. They generally have a hierarchical structure, defined goals, established operations, fixed facilities or meeting places, and a means of financial or logistic support. Some organizations may be indigenous to the area. These may include church groups, social organizations, patriotic or service organizations, labor unions, criminal organizations, and community watch groups. Other organizations may come from outside an assigned area. Examples of these include multinational corporations, United Nations agencies, United States governmental agencies, and non-governmental organizations, such as the International Red Cross. Operations also often require commanders to coordinate with international organizations and non-governmental organizations. Commanders remain familiar with organizations operating in their assigned area. Relevant information includes information about their activities, capabilities, and limitations. Situational understanding includes understanding how the activities of different organizations may affect military operations and how military operations may affect these organizations' activities. From this, commanders can determine how organizations and military forces can work together toward common goals when necessary. At certain times, every echelon of command will interact with other United States agencies, host nation governmental agencies, and non-governmental organizations. However, these groups and those in an assigned area may not always share the commander's objectives, ways to effect change, and point of view. Leaders must understand these organizations and their goals to best achieve desired end states. In most cases, military forces have more resources than civilian organizations. However, civilian organizations may possess specialized capabilities that they may be willing to share with military forces. Commanders do not command civilian organizations in their assigned areas. However, some operations require achieving unity of effort with them and the force. These situations require skillful and artful leaders to achieve the desired unity of effort. People. People is a general term used to describe non-military personnel encountered by military forces. The term includes all civilians within the assigned area and those outside the assigned area whose actions, opinions, or political influence can affect the mission. Individually or collectively, people can affect a military operation positively, negatively, or neutrally. In stability tasks, Army forces work closely with civilians of all types. There can be many kinds of people living and operating in and around an assigned area. As with organizations, people may be indigenous or introduced from outside an assigned area. An analysis of people should identify them by their various capabilities, needs, and intentions. This analysis also identifies the key communicators and the formal and informal processes used to influence people. It is useful to separate people into distinct categories. When analyzing people, commanders consider various factors, including languages used in the assigned area and area of interest, religious traditions, figures, and parties, culture, including social structure, behavioral patterns, perceptions, religious beliefs, tribal relationships, behavioral taboos, centers of authority, lifestyles, social history, gender norms, roles, and gender-based needs. Events. Events are routine, cyclical, planned, or spontaneous activities that significantly affect organizations, people, and military operations. Examples may include national and religious holidays, agricultural crops, livestock, and market cycles, elections, civil disturbances, celebrations, natural phenomena, including monsoons, seasonal floods and droughts, volcanic and seismic activity, and natural disasters. Man-made disasters. Once significant events are determined, planners template the events and analyze them for their political, economic, psychological, environmental, and legal implications. Technological innovation, external social influences, and natural and man-made disasters, such as hurricanes, environmental damage, and war, affect the attitudes and activities of governments and civilian populations. These changes cause stress in civilian populations and their leaders. A civilian population may or may not successfully incorporate these changes within its existing cultural value system. Addressing the problems posed by change requires considerable time and resources. The impatience of key leaders and groups, legal restrictions, and limits on resources can make resolutions difficult. However, when their resolution is necessary to accomplish the mission, commanders become concerned with them. The existence of an independent press guarantees that United States military activities that do not meet America's military standards for dealing with non-combatants will be reported in United States, host nation, and international public forums. At times, they will be reported almost instantly. Commanders consider the effects of their decisions and their forces' actions on public opinion. The activities of a force, or individual members of a force, can have far-reaching effects on the legitimacy of all military operations, including offense, defense, stability, or support. Commanders ensure their soldiers understand that a tactically successful operation can also be operationally or strategically counterproductive because of the way in which they execute it or how people perceive its execution. Commanders have legal responsibilities to refugees and non-combatants in their assigned areas. These responsibilities may include providing humanitarian assistance. A commander's responsibility to protect non-combatants influences planning and preparing for operations. Commanders assess the chance that their actions may result in dislocated civilians, and they consider their legal obligation to respect and protect them when choosing a COA and executing an operation.